welcome to the Abbot Lou Community Church Podcast. ALCC is a multi-generational church committed to building a growing community reaching Anchorage, Alaska, and the world with the saving message of Jesus Christ.
We at ALCC invite you to come grow with us and hope that this message speaks to you from the heart of God.
Open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. This is the last message in our Galatians series. It's been pretty good, huh? You can, and if you haven't been here for the whole thing, I would really encourage you, and many of you are doing this, to go to our information booth and get the series and sign up to receive the series and listen to all those messages again, or maybe for the first time, to fill in all the gaps for you. There's just some really powerful truths. Pastor Rick Benjamin was preaching, as well as Pastor Mark Drake and myself, and it really has worked out to be something quite special for our church, I think. So get that, buy it for some friends, get it out to people that you know need a revelation in how to live in the new covenant relationship with Jesus. I'm confident you're going to be blessed and you're going to be glad you ordered that. And then also people, your friends and family that really need it, I'm sure that God, that they're going to be blessed that you did the same thing. But Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let us not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. Notice what large letters as I write these closing words in my own handwriting. Those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. And even those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves. They only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. From now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things, for I bear on my body the scars that show that I belong to Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Love how Paul closes this thing out. He starts this whole book off with like, what are you doing? And he just starts hammering them, and then he finishes the book with like, don't talk to me about this anymore. He's like, leave me alone. Stop being so weird about this, you know? You're freaking me out. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I've said my piece very directly, and you need to live this way. Don't talk to me about this anymore. I don't want to hear any more about this argument. He just wants to put it all to rest, right? And this is such a powerful, powerful message in the book of Galatians. And when we look at the entire book of Galatians, you know, and we look at just purely what we have been communicating about, that first we're talking about there's only one way to freedom. And it makes no sense to go from a place of freedom into a place of bondage, right? And we use the example of moving across the Berlin Wall from the communist side to the free side, right? Or being a free person born free as like an African American and going to the South during the early 1800s to sign up for slavery. This makes no sense. This is the same argument Paul is using, that the freedom in Christ, when you've purchased in freedom in Christ, why would you go back to bondage? It makes no sense. And then Pastor Rick preached this message about the gospel, the grace of God. The work of God is done. It's not due. It's done. It's done for you. And we believe in Christ by faith. The work is done. It's not something we need to do. And we also look to see that we were children of the promise, not children of the law. And the law was only a guardian to help us until Jesus fulfilled the promise, right? The Spirit that was living within us was crying out for a relationship with a living God, not a set of regulations and rules, right? You can't have a relationship with a bunch of rules, but you can have a relationship with a living God. And in chapter 4 says, your Spirit of God living inside of you, the Holy Spirit, is always crying out, Abba, Father, right? And then we also preached about here that so Christ has truly set us free. Now, make sure that you stay free, right? Stay free. Don't fall back into prison. Don't do things where you sign yourself back up into prison. Christ set you free from that. You have a get out of jail free card. Don't think you have to earn it or do it or all these other things, that you are free and stay set free. That was Galatians 5:1. Today we're really going to talk about really what I think sums up this whole series is how to live set free, right? We've been focused a lot on staying set free. And the last 2-3 messages, and this closing one, we're talking about how to live set free. And so we find in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, this says this: He gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, and to make us his very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. You see this? The grace of God, living set free. It empowers us. Jesus paid everything to set us free and to cleanse us from all of our sin, right? And to make us his very own people. So he makes us a people, and now we are the chosen people of God, totally committed by the grace of God, by the power of God, to do good deeds. You need a purpose for your life? Do good deeds. Be good to people, right? Do good deeds. And if we look back here into Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 through 10, we see the same thing. So let's not get tired. Don't get tired of doing what is good. You do a lot of good stuff. Sometimes we get worn out. Is this ever going anywhere? Does anybody ever care about what I do? Does this really matter? Does anyone notice? At just the right time, here's the promise: we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. If we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. Wow, are you kidding me? I have to do good to those in the family of faith too? Yeah, yeah. Do good to others, right? And the family of faith, it is really important. What we need to really focus on and really remember here is that the entire doctrine of how to live as a Christian could very well be summed up in this simple phrase. This simple phrase: do good to everyone. Just do good to everyone. You want to just summarize the gospel of grace, its power, what it's designed to do in your life, what the Holy Spirit has come to do in your life, is to do good to everyone, right? Man, find a way when you see an opportunity to do good to everyone. What a great way. Like, there's been a lot of stuff we've preached about all over the last few weeks, but what a great way to summarize what we see in the new covenant and how to live set free, but just to simply think about it. How can I do good to someone today? How can I be good to someone today? Right? It's so simple. Get that phrase, write it down. Put it on your mirror. Use lipstick if you got to, ladies or husbands. Use your wife's lipstick. Make sure it's the cheap stuff if you're going to write on the mirror. And just get it on there or you might get in trouble, right? Or dry erase markers, whatever you want. Post-it notes, what a great concept. Get those things in front of you. Get some of the key passages that has really spoken to you. Get them in front of you and look at them. Put them on your steering wheel. I remember one of our young disciples here, she always had this phrase, you know, on her steering wheel, like stuck right in front of her, and she would read it all the time. It said, you know, what God is doing in you is more important than what God is doing through you. They're like, focus on what the Holy Spirit's doing in you all the time. She would think about that. I preached that message to her probably 10, 12, 11 years ago. And then it was like 6 years later. That thing is still in her car. She's still remembering it all the time. And I just encourage you, the power of doing that is so good. And just get this in front of yourself and put it in front of your steering wheel. Put it on your mirror in the car. Do good to everyone. Do good to someone. Right? We ought to do good to everyone, but at least do good to someone today. Today. What if we could do that every day? Just to do something good to someone every day. You know, you might ask, like, how do I really live this life? How do I live empowered by grace? You know, when we think about it as doing good to everyone, you know, it really just makes it applicable principally in all kinds of circumstances. So sometimes when we think about rules, we get into trouble. But when we think about principles, we actually become empowered. You think about rules, you get boxed in and you get into trouble. And sometimes we get judgmental. But when you think about principles, they cross all time and all culture and they work everywhere all the time. I promise you the principle, which at the end of Galatians, Paul says, look, if the peace of God and mercy fall on everybody who lives by this principle, they are the new people of God. God's principles are like laws. They never stop. They're like gravity. Is when things goes up, they always come down, right? It's always constantly pulling. The law of sowing and reaping, which is we see here in chapter 6, that God's justice won't be mocked. You will reap what you sow. You will harvest what you invest. And when we invest doing good to people, simply thinking about that in every circumstance, you wake up in the morning, right? And you look at your wife, her hair's all... My wife doesn't wake up that way. Her hair's all perfect every single morning. But I know that some of y'all's wives, you wake up and their hair's crazy, right? Yeah. Some of y'all have big hair. I have some friends with really big hair, and I'm sure it's a gigantic mess. It's as big of a mess in the morning. Probably have to rope that stuff down and tie it off before you go to bed. But listen, I don't have this problem. So I don't know what that's like. I wake up, my hair's perfect, right? I do one of these. It's getting better and better every year. As more falls out, simpler and simpler process here. Yeah, that's a good idea there. Now look, you wake up in the morning, you see your wife, do something good for her. Yeah, make her a coffee. That's it. You see your kids, do something good. You see your neighbor, think about, how can I do something good right now? Holy Spirit, tell me, what can I do that's good for this person? It's so simple. Somebody's on the side of the road. How can I do good to this person? How can I use what I have to do good for someone today? Dr. Scott Kurtzman, chief of surgery at Waterbury Hospital, was on his way to deliver an 8 o'clock a.m. lecture when he witnessed one of the worst crashes in Connecticut history. A dump truck whose driver had lost control flipped over on its side and skidding into oncoming traffic. The resulting accident involved 20 vehicles. Four people died. Kurtzman immediately shifted into trauma mode. He worked his way through the mangled mess of people and metal, calling out, "Who needs help?" After 90 minutes, when all 16 victims had been triaged and taken to area hospitals, Kurtzman climbed back into his car, drove to the medical school, and gave his lecture 2 hours late. Over the years, Kurtzman has stopped a half a dozen crashes and assisted at three. A person with my skills simply can't drive by someone who is injured, said Kurtzman. I refuse to live my life that way. Do good to others. Be good to others. If you have skills, use them to help others. If you have time, invest it in others. If you have resources, give them to those in need. The Bible says this, therefore, whenever we have an opportunity, we should do good to everyone. You know, you do reap what you sow. The Bible says, again, right here in Galatians 6 through 7, do not be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. And also in verse 4, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anyone. This is a good unity message right here, isn't it? When we look at others and we don't look at people recognizing us for our good things we do, and instead we trust God, we don't feel like we have to get paid back by people right now to praise us, you know, for the things that we do. We're not looking to like get this instantaneous reward. We just continue to look at our love as a straight arrow towards others, giving and giving and giving and never expecting anything in return. God says that I won't be mocked. My justice is true. My promises are sure. They will never end. They will. When you wake up every single morning, my mercy is there. When you wake up every single morning, my grace and my power is there to empower you to do good to others, to be good to others, to do good deeds that he prepared in advance for you to do, Ephesians 2:10 says. When we live this way, not only in our own heart, we get this satisfaction of a job well done. You know, you ever work on something really hard and you poured your whole life out into it, and you build it, or you clean the house, or you do something special for somebody, and you really go the extra mile, and you walk away, and maybe they don't even know it was you. You ever do anything anonymous like that, or maybe they do find out, but you did it unexpected. And you get this satisfaction in your heart, don't you? There is an instantaneous reward. Even if no one praises you for it, it feels good to do good to others. Am I right? It just feels good. So do good. You'll find the satisfaction and the pleasure in the presence of God. His presence is always with us. But when we do good things, it's like we stir it up in us. And there's this confirmation that God says, you're mine. You belong to me. You're living the way that I designed you to live. And you're now fellowshipping and with me. And those feelings come up and they're an instant gratification and satisfaction for a job well done. Man, be good to others. Do good to others. And then you won't need to compare yourself to anyone. Think about this. If I'm only looking for the pleasure of Abba Father and an opportunity just to do good, and that's the simplicity of how I live, and I'm not living to be something or do something, right? There's not some grander scheme beyond today I'm going to be good to you, my wife. Today I'm going to be good to you, my friend, right? Today I'm going to be good to someone I don't know. I'm going to stop my car and help them on the side of the road, right? I'm going to be good. And we're not comparing. All of a sudden, we're just looking at that and not like, well, what position did you get because of that? And what, you know, how much, you know, glory do you get because you did all these things, right? All of a sudden, I don't really care about you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care about your title and position compared to my title and position. I care about doing good to you, but I don't care if I'm compared to you because I'm not measured based on what I do. I'm not measured. My title, my position isn't measured based on what I do or how big of a title I get or how much money I make. It's truly before God, truly before Him. I am His son. He is my Abba. He is my Father. That's it. Don't go beyond that. You'll lose yourself. You'll lose your identity. Don't become something else besides a child of God who's doing good deeds for his father out of a love relationship for him. Out of the pleasure of the response I get when I do good to others, that's my reward. And I promise there will be a greater reward in heaven before God. He will reward you justly for the good deeds you have done, empowered by the grace of God here on earth. But this type of lifestyle will move us away from divisions and fractions among us and jealousy and envy and backbiting and devouring one another. When we just focus on doing good, we don't focus on where people have fallen short, where others haven't measured up to our expectations and demands that we have of them. And we just, come on, church, right? That's a good word. Change your heart towards your pastor, right? Oh, praise the Lord. Don't create this shape I can't fill. Right? That expectation becomes a demand, which I can't fulfill. What I can fulfill is I can do good to others today. I can be good to others today. What you can do today is you can be good to others today. And you can know with full confidence that the Holy Spirit is fully empowering you to do this, because he says in verse 10, therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, right? The Holy Spirit is wanting to do good to others. Pay careful attention to your own work. Isn't that great? Pay careful attention. Just pay careful attention to your own work and not somebody else's. You're around nitpicking everybody else's stuff all the time. Criticism, I've said this 1,000 times and I'll say it 10 billion more, is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. Criticism is just what it is. Criticism. And you should be incredibly, fearfully, not fearful like God's going to judge you, but fearful that you're going to wreck relationships from being critical to others. God has not called you to be critical to others. He's called you to be good to others. Do that instead. If you're struggling with being critical, start being good. It's like, I'm sorry to put it in such extremes, but the Bible says, if you've been struggling being a thief, it's not just stop stealing. It's start, get a job, get some resources, and give it away. So you don't just stop stealing, you start giving. You don't just stop being critical, you start being good to others. Speaking good over others, right? I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives through me, in me. And his spirit is not being critical of anyone. He took all criticism on himself. So how do we think our job is now then to be critical of the church and of other people in the church? That we're missing something right there. Happiness. It's been said about happiness. If you want happiness for an hour, take a nap. If you want happiness for a day, go fishing. If you want happiness for a month, get married. If you want happiness for a year, win the lottery. But if you want happiness for a lifetime, be good to people. Right? You want happiness for a lifetime? Be good to people. You know, many times we're praying for God to do a miracle in people's situations, and that is good. And I think we need to see that many times, maybe most of the time, God is wanting us to be that miracle for others. Maybe most of the time, God is wanting us to be that miracle for others. Be a miracle for others. Be a miracle for others by being good to them. Doing good to them. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says that we are Christ's ambassadors. As if God is making his appeal through us, we speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. You are God's ambassador, carrying around all of his papers and all of the good news of who he is to love people. Be good to people. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. God said, go heal the sick, raise the dead, feed the poor and the hungry. Visit those in prison, help the widow, clothe those in need, open your home to strangers, love your enemies, be generous with your money, comfort the brokenhearted, preach the good news, help those in need, forgive always, love without limits. be good to people. You'll be happy if you do. If you're struggling with being happy, be good to people. It's happiness is a fruit. You feel grateful and glad when you've invested and you get a return on your investment that's good. And the Bible says God will not be mocked. You'll reap what you sow. Sow good to people. Eventually that good starts to come back and you experience not only the personal satisfaction instantly, but over time, I promise, from doing good to others, you will reap a great harvest in this life right now. You'll experience the kingdom of God, His righteousness, His peace, and His joy in the Holy Spirit, in the works of the Holy Spirit, not in the works of your flesh. These can never be the works of the flesh when we do good to others because they have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Loving, gentle, kind, right? Self-control, right? These kind of things, being gentle to one another, these things are fruits of the Holy God living inside of us. Allow them to be good and to do good to others. Be a miracle for someone. You know, people are waiting around for their miracle. And we're praying for miracles. And we're like, God, if you would only do this. When there's a simple solution, many times there's a need right in front of you. And God will use you to be that miracle for someone. People are praying for clothes and food. And people are praying for things that they need in their life. And you know, each one of us sees those opportunities. And then we have the opportunity to meet those when we see them. And you never know, the opportunity that you're seeing could easily be that person's miracle they've been praying for. Right? So just do good to everyone all the time. Don't stop. Don't ever stop. Find a way every single day to do good to people, to do good to others. You know, the reality is you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. Luke 6:38, given it will be given to you a good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. You know that it's giving or being good to people is contagious. It's contagious. You start being good to people, they just start feeling, I need to do this for other people too. Great movie called Pay It Forward. It was a great movie. I think it was a great movie. When I saw it, I thought it was good. The principle behind it is good. I don't, you know, make any judgments about content in between. The big picture. But you know, I heard about this coffee shop, and I've actually been at coffee shops when small parts of this have happened, but I've heard about this coffee shop that early in the morning one day, somebody paid for the coffee of the person behind them. And then all of a sudden, it set off a chain reaction that went on all day till almost closing at this coffee shop, that next person after their next person was giving and buying the next person's coffee. When you do good to someone, it sets off a chain reaction. We want to be good to people. We do. It's in our nature. And we want people to be good to us. So listen, sum up the grace of God in that I'm going to be good to somebody today. 1 John 3:18 says, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let's show the truth by our actions. Let's show the truth that we really love each other by our actions. Proverbs 3:27, do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it's in your power to help them. I'm going to close with this scripture. It says in Galatians 6, verse 15, it doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. So Paul is summarizing the entire work of Galatians, his entire letter, and he says this: it doesn't matter about all these rules and whether you followed this or did this right or did that right or did good to people or not. It doesn't matter about all of that stuff. What really counts is that you've been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. Listen, you and I truly need to respond to the work of grace in our life and allow it to move through our hearts and allow God to continue to perfect his love in our life. And one of the ways we allow God to perfect that love in our life is by doing good and being good to others. Amen? The gospel is not do, it is done. It's done in you, right? There's only one way. It's from bondage into freedom. And like Justin gave his testimony, he started out kind of in bondage, and God, when God met him, he was set free. And so he started his Christian life in total freedom, coming out of bondage. And then he's like, why did I go back to bondage again? It makes no sense. And God did this revelation and this transformation and perfecting his love in Justin's life. And all of a sudden he's like, I want to live in freedom. It's one way. Don't go back to bondage. Christ died for your bondage. He died for all the laws and rules and ended the law when he died on the cross. And he fulfilled the promise, which continues on today. And we get to reap of that promise, which Hebrews 1 says that we get to enter daily into his rest. We get to go beyond the veil into the Holy of Holies. The power of God is truly alive within us daily. Nothing can separate you from that love. Nothing you can do can change that. Nothing you can do can make him love you more or make him more happy with you. He is permanently, forever happy with you. His work in you, the thing he desires to see happen as a response to his love relationship, is for you to take the power that's been stored inside of your temple, the temple of God now, and use it to just be good to others, to do good to others. Amen, church. Will you stand with me? And I say this like the Apostle Paul, don't let anybody bother me with this stuff anymore. Just kidding. He says, you know, I bear it, the scars on my body, to prove that I live this way, that I love this way. You and I, it's okay if we get persecuted. Just make sure you're being good to people. Not to please God, but to love people, because it's your work. It's your work, right? Don't get confused about that and get back into bondage. Amen. If you want to make a personal commitment to Jesus Christ today, we want to pray with you. If you want to be set free and you need have any needs for healing, any needs for just deliverance, or you have prayer needs for anything that you have, I'd just like to invite those members of our care team and those that are on our prayer team or whatever, if you could just come down, elders in our church, come down here, and we're going to close with this and just encourage you to come down and receive prayer for your needs. Even if it's your first time to give your heart to Jesus, we want to pray with you. Amen. You're beautiful today. Enjoy that sun. Go buy some good grub out there, right? Get some good grub. It's probably going to go quick. Buy some cupcakes. My daughter made them. Pretty much the only reason. $100 cupcakes, man. Get them down. Pow, pow, pow. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, we worship you today. God, help us to be good to others. Help us to live fully empowered by your grace, fully empowered by your spirit. Lord, we choose you. We choose you. Our spirits cry out, Abba, Father, we love you. We love you. There are no favorites. Thank you for that word today, God. There are no favorites. You love us all the same. We're one in you. Make us one in you. Bring this church into great unity. Cause us to be effective in this city. God, I ask you would pour out a tremendous blessing of goodness on your people as they go. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I love you. Enjoy the sun. Be good to people.